on back, take your seats, get your old Bibles out. How's everybody doing? Good. Two people are good. I'm sorry. Sorry. I have a cough drop, so I'm just going to chew that up real quick. Real cute, huh? Okay. Ooh, this may be a little hot. Sorry, I was making it hard on you. Okay, let's give a hand for our sound booth, all the people back there. They get here early and they work so hard, and if they do something wrong, everybody notices. So it's a real fun job to be back there, but they do an awesome job, so be sure to thank them personally if you haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. So, a few people are good. That's good. I like it. All right, we'll see how you guys feel at the end of this, all right? Ooh, 2020. Probably why only a few of you are good, huh? 2020's been kind of an interesting year. Pastor talked a couple weeks ago in his message series, What's Next?, about all of the things that we've been through, all of the things that have been threatened, talked about, rumored about, coming to the United States and just the world in general. We've talked a lot about a focus. I think we spent several weeks on a series entitled Focus. We talked about decisions. The past couple weeks have been strongly focused on decisions and moving forward. Unfortunately, those are all much easier said than done. When we look at the choices we have to make, the things that we want to accomplish, the dreams we have, more often than not, we begin focusing on the negatives. The what ifs, the worst case scenarios, the why me's, the giants. And sometimes it's easy to block out the noise. We've talked about horses who get the blinders. Pastor showed us that very interesting picture of a man version of blinders. It was not cute. If you guys were here for that and remember that picture, don't suggest that for the upcoming runway season. But it's easy sometimes to put on those blinders to say, no, I can block out the world. I'll just look ahead. But what if the only thing that's ahead, standing in front of your promised land, are giants? So what if all you see, sorry, this mat, thought it went further back than it did, so sorry, got me. What if the only thing that you can see when you're trying to focus on moving ahead is the giants standing in your way? We're going to look at a story in the Bible today in Numbers 13. If you want to open your Bibles there, we're going to spend the majority of today's message in Numbers 13, kind of going back and forth in there. So if you want to get that ready, we're going to read from there. Basically, this group of people, the Israelites, coming, they've had so many different experiences. They've had so many ups and downs. And then they get to where they can see their promised land. And Moses, you know, he decides to be the leader and send some scouts out. That's where we'll start in Numbers 13. Hopefully it'll be on the screens for you. Let's start just in verse 1, Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Now, if you, on your own time, want to read the next several verses, I'll let you do that. But for the sake of time, we're going to skip on down to verse 17. If you want to know who these men are and where they come from and their ancestors, go ahead and spend some time in that. But for right now, we'll just jump down to 17. So when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. He's getting a census of the land and the people. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? Very important, I think, if you're going to go take it. How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees in it? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land, for it was the season for the first ripe grapes. Now, let's see. Sorry, that was verse 20. Let's keep going. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin. As far as Rehob, almost 100% guarantee I'm going to butcher every one of these names, so just roll with it. Toward Lebo Hamath, they went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. When they reached the valley, they had to cut off the branch to take the grapes, all of that good stuff. Let's jump down to verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Look, here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Whew. There is a lot to unpack in that one little section of this great word of God. We're just going to focus on a few things today. What we're going to talk about is the giants that you will encounter on your way to your promised land. And please note, when I say promised land, I don't mean some big, lofty dream. For some of you, that may be the case. For some of you, you may have those big, lofty dreams. For some of you, you may have short-term goals that you're reaching for. Those are your tiny promised lands, the things that God has promised to you that you're working toward, whether it's a restored marriage or a lost child coming back to the Lord. Whatever your promised land looks like, there are going to be giants standing in your way. So we're going to look at those giants. We're going to look at the decision that you can make in the moment, and then we're going to take a look to end things up with the one thing that makes all the difference. So starting with the giants, let's turn back to Numbers 13:22. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. These are giants. Crazy, big, in my mind, just beastly, disgusting-looking giants, because that makes it easier to want to destroy them, right? So there are three giants. Unfortunately, there are several different kinds of giants that you will encounter in your life. That's fun, right? I bet you can't wait for your giants. Yay. But we're just going to take a look at three, the three that these Israelites came in contact with. The first one is Ahiman. Ahiman translates to, my brother is a gift. It's great, right? My brother is gifted. But this giant comes at you and says, my brother is more gifted than I am. My sister is more gifted than I am. So-and-so knows more about finances than I do. So-and-so is better at business, at speaking, at whatever. My brother, my sister is more gifted and talented than I am. There's a running joke in my house. I have three amazing brothers. They are very intelligent, very hardworking, and they all happened to be in the gifted and talented program in school. I was blessed with a class full of intelligent people, so I didn't make the cut. And they love to give me a hard time about it. You know, we'll be sitting together at Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they'll talk about, oh yeah, remember the good old days in GT when we did this? And I'm like, great, don't remember that. But I don't let it get to me, because the fact that my brothers are gifted and talented does not take away from the fact that I am gifted and talented as well. When God created the world, he said, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. When he created man, he said, ooh, that is very good. His words are infinite. So it didn't stop with Adam, and it didn't stop with Eve. He didn't say, oh, these two are very good, and then his words stop. His words ring out for eternity. So every step that you've taken, every day that you've lived, the words very good have been ringing in your spirit, waiting to make themselves known. That's how you combat the giant of Ahiman, the giant of comparison, the giant of my brother is more gifted than me. No, because my God said, I am very good. My God's words are infinite, and it doesn't matter if you are very good, because there's enough of his power and his truth to pour out over me as well. Chaos feels infinite, but only truth is. You see, that's what God did. He confronted chaos with the world, and he said, no, I'm going to speak truth into that. I'm going to speak life into that. Matthew 16, 19 says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven and earth. Whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on this earth, I will loose in heaven. What are you binding and loosing in your lives? Are you binding your blessings instead of your curses? Are you loosing curses over yourself instead of blessings? Oh, I'm not good at math and finances. I can't do that. That's just justification that allows the enemy into your territory. No, what you say is, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Take authority with your words, because guess what? You were created in the image of your heavenly Father, so your words have power. Every Sunday morning, I stand up here and I says, Proverbs 18:21 says there is power of life or death in the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So we make those declarations of life because we know the power that we have. And if you don't understand that power yet, I pray that God releases that fresh revelation over you, because there is power in your words, there is power in your thoughts. And the only way to combat the giant of comparison is to say, my God says, I am very good. Going along the route of comparison and fear, a lot of us struggle with timing. It leads us to our next giant, Talmai. Talmai translates to furrowed, which basically just means deep wrinkles, deep trenches. How many of you are battling the giant of time in your life? Oh, I'm too old. I can't start that now. I can't go to school now. Are you kidding me? I'd be surrounded by a bunch of kids. I've started too late. These people have years of experience on me. There's no way I could do that. Do you feel ever like you just don't have enough time? I ran across a post the other day on Facebook talking about comparison and time. I think it was very timely because I've seen it before and I've really enjoyed reading it. And it came back just as I was preparing for this message. So I'm just going to read this. And I really want you guys to think about where you are in your lives and the giants that you're facing, especially if it's this giant of time. Can you put that graphic about Talmai back up there? Furrowed, deep wrinkles. Go ahead and just leave that up there as I read this. I heard it takes 18 months for certain whales to be born. For some elephants, it takes up to 22 months. But butterflies can hatch in just 3 weeks. Some people graduate college in 4 years. Some people drop out. Some don't even graduate high school. Some people take so many college-level classes in high school that they graduate and have a job before they can even celebrate with a glass of wine. When J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, was 29, she was living on food stamps, manually typing every single book manuscript to pitch to publishers because she couldn't even afford to photocopy. Those manuscripts were rejected dozens of times until somebody finally took a chance. We all know that it takes Earth 365 and one-fourth days to orbit the sun. It takes Mars 687 days. Jupiter, 12 years. We didn't really hear much about Jesus' ministry until he turned 30, but Jehoash was 7 years old when he was crowned king of Israel. Sarah was 90 years old. I think my mic's a little bit hot. It sounds like it's ringing a little bit. Thank you, guys. Sarah was 90 years old when she had her first son, Isaac. Some people get married at 15. Some people get married for the first time at 60. Anne Frank had 15 years on this earth. Some of us get more, some of us get less. Leonardo da Vinci was 51 when he painted the Mona Lisa, one of the most famous paintings in the world. So, dear friend, take a deep breath, knowing you're not a minute behind schedule. You've come so far and have quite an adventure ahead. So take a deep breath and release your heart's tug toward comparison. Your blueprint is not somebody else's to follow and vice versa. Your story is a fresh expression of the divine. Take a deep breath and step forward. Grace and glory will meet you at every turn. God does not need a human schedule to accomplish a divine purpose. Do not let the giant of time keep you from your destiny. Do not let the giant of time come stalking out every morning saying, no, you're too old, it's too late. By the time you're where that person is now, they'll be far ahead of you because you're not on their time. You're on God's time, and His time is perfect for you. It's perfect for you. The last giant that we'll talk about today is Sheshai. It directly translates to mercy. But a connotation of mercy is leniency, tolerance. The giant of tolerance. What are you allowing in your life? What are you tolerant of? Is it the other giants? Are you allowing other giants in your life to say, look at her, look at him, what are they doing? Are you allowing the giant of time to say, it's too late? What are you tolerating? Are you allowing them to have a say in your life when they shouldn't? Is it the music you listen to? Oh, well, I like the beat. The groove is nice. People still say groove? I don't know. It's groovy. Got my bell bottoms on today. I guess it works. Do you realize that the words that you're listening to are a direct line to your spirit? You are feeding your spirit things that it does not need to be taking in, and you wonder why every turn and every time you get bumped and hit, something bad comes out. It's because what are you feeding it? Whether you realize it or not, you are subconsciously feeding, you are tolerating bad things to be allowed in your spirit. Is it the things you watch? What are you watching on TV? What movies are you watching? I'm not trying to come out at anybody because I love movies. I love TV, but what are you allowing into your eyes? What are you allowing into the windows of your soul? What do you watch when you're alone, when nobody's around, when you think that, oh, it doesn't matter, nobody knows this, nobody cares? What are you tolerating in your life? Is it a relationship that's not good for you? Is it a job that's not right for you, that you, oh, I can tolerate it for a little bit more, I can stay here for a little bit longer? God did not call you to tolerate things. He called you, like the first giant, to say, no, I have authority in my mouth, in my words, and I will speak out against this. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The giants that I'm sure many of you are facing. The giants I face almost on a daily basis, because they are almost always there. Several of us ladies went to the beautiful conference a couple weeks ago. Yeah, let's give it up. It was an amazing conference. It was so good. Confirmation on confirmation, timely words. It was so good, you guys. And Pastor John shared a prophetic word that he had, and it talked about standing up against giants that you've been battling day in and day out, giants that you thought that you had fought before, but they keep coming back. And he said, it's time for you to slay that giant and for it to be done permanently and for it to be an example for the people coming after you. These giants that you are facing are not just your giants. They're the giants of your children and the giants of your children's children. They're the giants that generations will thank you for slaying, because they don't have to deal with it anymore. So, when you encounter these giants, when you have the blinders on and you're saying you're focused on your promised land, but they're right in front of you, you have one choice. The decision that's all yours. You can stop here, or you can keep going. Let's jump back over to verse 27. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. I'll come back to that section in a second. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Look, here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. I'm going to stop right there. They had the fruit in their hands. They said, look, everything that God told us is true. Everything that we've come for is true. We saw the milk and the honey, and look, we have in our hands the first fruit of this season, and it is good. But the people there are too big. Their walls are too fortified. I'm too old to start college right now. What will my friends say if I do this and move my family across the world? What are your buts? What's preventing you from moving forward? Jump down to verse 30. It says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. It all comes back to your words. What are you speaking? What are you focusing on? Are you going to focus on the fruit that God has given you or on the giants that claim to take it away from you, but they can't unless you give it to them? When life gives you giants, God will give you fruit. The fruit of his promise, the fruit that says every word that I have spoken over you, every promise that I have made is good and it's true and it's real and it's there for you. So what are you going to focus on? Are you going to be the ones who say, yeah, I saw it. I can see that new campus. I see people worshiping 24/7, but finances. But volunteers, but guys, we have it. God gave it to us and he spoke it years ago. We have the fruit in our hands. And it's our choice whether we focus on that fruit as a symbol of the promises of God, or we focus on the buts. I don't know about you, but I want to be the one who keeps going. I saw a post the other day about a hairdresser talking about a client who was complaining about her prices. Excuse me. The hairdresser said that there's a difference between price and value. The price is something set by the seller. The value is determined by the buyer or the consumer. She went on to say that we don't all place the same value on the same things. Someone who loves coffee might not mind spending $5 a day on a cup, but somebody who doesn't couldn't imagine spending that much. Some women love designer handbags and will spend upwards of thousands of dollars because they place a value on it, while others won't. They don't see the value in the price. Listen, there will always be a price. There will always be giants in your way that you will have to fight. It may be relationships, it may be comfort, it may be finances. It's up to you to determine the value of what you are working to. It's up to you to determine whether or not you are willing to pay the price for the value of the item. Are you willing to fight your giants for the promised land with fruit and milk and honey? What do you value? You have to make that decision. No one else can. No one can place a value on your dreams for you. You have to decide that. No one can place a value on your goals for you. You have to decide that. And you have to decide if the price is worth paying. So what will you do? Will you stop here or keep going? God, I hope you keep going. God has amazing things for you. God has amazing things for this body. I hope you keep going. And if you do, there's only one more thing that you need to get to your promised land. There's only one thing that makes all the difference when faced with the giants and the decision to stop or keep going, and that is the Father. Now, I've been lucky enough to grow up with an amazing earthly father. He also happens to be one of my spiritual fathers and the father of this house. There have been many times in my life where I've looked to him for guidance, looked to him and waited for him to tell me if something is okay, if something is safe, if something is good. Like if you're a child and you're at the store with your family, and a stranger approaches and says hi to you, you know, you look to your father, you're like, do I know this person? It happens a lot with pastor's kids, by the way. Like, I don't know you, but you know me. Anyway, sorry, little PK reference there. But, you know, you look to him, and he nods, and you're like, oh, hi, nice to see you. But if he doesn't, you'd be wary of that person, right? What about, think back to a time when you were a child and you were eating dinner, maybe something you didn't particularly like, but dessert was sitting over on the counter. You could smell it because it's just out of the oven. And so you're like, oh, can I have dessert now? What does he say? No, not yet. Finish your meal. Finish your dinner. Or when you have homework, but all your friends were playing outside, and you're like, can I go play now? They're like, no, not yet. Finish your homework. Waiting for that father's yes, you can go now. Or trying to muster up the courage to jump off of a diving board. How many of you would have freaked out if you were like on the edge of that diving board and your dad's in the pool like, don't do it, it's bad, don't go. Like, you would have freaked out. I probably would have fallen in because I'm a klutz to begin with, but yeah, that's not very comforting. You would have totally freaked out, but when you see him standing there, or whoever your father figure in your life is, I know not everybody's as lucky as me, and I'm sorry for that, but when you see that person standing reassuringly in the pool, like, come on, I've got you, it's good, then you jump. That's all that you need. Sometimes the Father tells us not yet. Finish the task at hand. Focus on what's in front of you, and then when you're done, I will bring this to you. I will help you. I will be with you in that. There have been several times, being transparent, as a leader in this church, I've gone to Pastor Scott and I've said, hey, I have this great idea, blah, 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 this, this, and that. And he said, yeah, wow, that is an amazing idea. Let's focus on what we have right now, and then we will surely come back to that and see what we can do for that. That's called being a good father. There are times when you have to focus on what's at hand. But there are also times when he says, go. He says, now. And he says, yes. We see in this story that there were scouts who decided to keep going, Joshua and Caleb, and there were scouts who decided to stop there because they were afraid. You see, the stop here scouts, the father's yes is not enough. They want more info. They watch the news and try to make an educated decision based on the evidence. They calculate the odds before making an investment or a choice. They feel like they deserve more time to gain peace and comfort about the decision that they need to make. So they wait and they wait and they wait and they wait, and the opportunity passes them by. And what was meant for them doesn't come to be for them. The biggest travesty is what those people spoke came to pass. They said, we can't take that land. Are you kidding me? And not a single one of them did. Not a single one of them saw that land. But the keep going scouts, the one who said, yeah, we can, let's go now, they did. Joshua and Caleb made it. They were the only ones. You see later in, I think, Joshua 15, that Caleb ran out the giants from his territory. He had the victory because he had the Father's nod and he trusted it. We see, I think it's in verse 2. Can you put that back up, Kaysen? Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. They had the Father's yes. They had the Father's nod. They knew what the Father's will was, what the Father's plan was, what his words were. And they decided to focus on the giants instead of the fruit and the promise of God. What are you waiting for? There's someone here today. maybe a few of you who have been waiting for a sign. You've been waiting for things to fall in line. You've been waiting for your finances to come together. You've been waiting for your kids to grow up, whatever. But that may not happen. And if you keep waiting for that, you'll miss your opportunity. Someone here knows that you've received the Father's nod, the Father's yes, the Father's go. But in the past, it has not been enough for you. You've asked for calculations, for percentages, for stats and likelihoods. And I feel like God is saying, no, I'm enough. My yes is enough. My nod is enough. It's all you need. I will see you through. Now is the time. Let's go. I don't want you guys to get me wrong. This is not a blanket. The time to move is now statement for each and every person in this room listening to this message, those online. This is a call for God's children to seek his face and to trust him when they receive the nod, and honestly, to be patient when they don't. We are all sitting and waiting. We've all seen the same giants. We've all heard the same reports. The only difference is, will you stop here? Will you keep going? There's a place for you out at the new campus. There's a place for each and every one of you, but you have to decide if you'll get there. You have to decide if your children will get there, if your children's children will get there, because the choices that you make today aren't just choices for you, they're choices for generations. They have a lasting effect. But there is a place for you, and I encourage you to keep going. We've asked for the calculations. We've gotten the calculations and been a little overwhelmed by them at times. But we've made the plans. We've seen the milk and the honey and the fruit. And we've received the Father's nod. So we are moving forward. Oh, and I want you to come with us. I want each and every one of you to be there for our foster relief, for the disaster relief, for the daycares and the children's school, the Bible colleges, for missionaries and all that we have planned out there. You can be a part of it, but you have to make the decision. You have to make the choice to say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to focus on the fruit that God has given me despite the giant standing in my way. And know that when you do, the Father's nod is all that you need to receive the victory. He's given you all of the tools, all of the strengths. And he is with you through it all. So remember, despite whatever giants you're facing, Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, any other giant, you have a decision to make. Are you going to stop here or keep going? And if you have the Father's nod, go for it. Run full force ahead. If not, be patient. Your time is coming. Stand up to your feet. Like I mentioned a second ago, there are some of you here that have received the Father's nod, but you're scared. You're focusing on the giants in your life. There are some of you who have not received the Father's nod yet, but you know his promises already. And you're getting antsy and impatient, but I promise you that there is something good coming from that patience. There's something good coming from God's timing. I want everybody to bow their heads. We're just going to do a blanket prayer for either of those situations that you may be in. Let this be the pushing, the tipping point for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people here with us today, watching online later in the week, God. Everybody who is coming together to hear from you. God, we know that we are facing giants. We know that there will always be giants in the front of our promised land, but we come against those knowing that we were made in the image of our Father, and we can combat those with word and truth, just like you did, coming against chaos when you created the world. So God, we know that life gives us giants, but you give us fruit, and we focus on that fruit today. We focus on that fruit moving forward, and we make the decision to keep going, not to stop here, to keep moving forward in the plans that you have for us, knowing that we're just waiting on your nod. So God, the ones who have received your nod and are afraid and are asking for calculations, God, I pray that you give them the confidence, the reassurance that they need to go forward. Let this message be the thing that causes them to say, yes, now is the time, no more waiting, let's keep going. God, for those who have not yet received your nod, but they know it's coming, give them patience. God, let them grow in the meantime, knowing that the steps that they take right now, the resilience that they are building right now, the growth that is happening right now will all be worth it when they reach the promised land. To whom much is given, much will be required. So do not turn your back to a period of patience, of waiting. The Father's nod is coming. And he will say, go, and you better be ready. So we're ready, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, Liberty family, I want you to achieve the goals and the dreams that God has placed in your heart, however big or however small they are. The time is now. Wait for the Father's nod and go forth, go strong, and keep moving forward. I love you guys. I pray that you have a very blessed week.